Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Apologist segment of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. ARC Studies Live is the blogcast radio outreach of the Apologetic Research Center. ARC is a Christian ministry specializing in evangelism, Christian apologetics, and counterculture studies. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Marketplace of Ideas. I'm your host, Rick Young. During this edition of ARC Studies Live, we are going to take a look at some more of the questions that are out there. Of course, picking up with where we left off yesterday with relation to tithes, with respect to tithing, rather. Just understand that it is my intent to provide quality answers and not to provide a quantity of answers. In other words, I'm not going to rush through. I know there are a ton of questions that I have lined up in my queue in which to address. But what I intend to do is to give quality answers so that you have a resource so you can go to Word of God and not accept my word of it, because we really have to get out of the habit of just accepting someone's word concerning something. And we have to learn to begin to dig down in the scriptures ourselves. If you cannot say that I know not only where that is in the scripture, but I know I myself can go to this and teach it, in fact, that it does say that. You know, if that's not the case, then you are not proclaiming the word of God. You're just proclaiming the word of someone other than God. All right, just real quick, while out in the marketplace yesterday, I was looking at some questions. I had an individual contact me in one of these groups. The name of that group, I believe, is called the Bible and Spirit of Truth Discussions. Anyway, the person contacted me with a view of questioning the doctrine of the Trinity. And, of course, I'm not going to go into that in detail here today, that particular doctrine, though, ironically, I haven't had any other questions about it. But I could tell by the tenor of the question that the person was more than likely part of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society in some respect. And it turned out I was right. But at any rate, if you actually go to there now and you look at my blurb from yesterday concerning this broadcast, and then you look in the comment section, it appears that I was having a rather lengthy conversation with myself, because the only comments that are left there are mine. What had happened was this person had made the comment that the Trinity had drawn upon previous depictions of a trinity or triunity throughout history in order to draw that pagan doctrine or to develop that pagan doctrine. And, of course, I said that's demonstrably false. And so the person, then said, of course, it is. My response was, the Trinity is not... Well, they said something to the effect of, I said, I can't even remember, because what happened was they deleted all of their posts because they literally were walked into something that completely caught them off guard. And I'll just go over this really briefly. Right? So what they did was they were walked. What I did was, okay, they said that the Trinity, how can a person be someone who they're said to be with? And that, this is how I could tell that they were, what they were theologically. And so, at any rate, I pointed out that they have a complete misunderstanding of what Scripture teaches about the doctrine of the Trinity or the doctrine of the triunity. And I do see you there, my brother, and I know you're just listening. And so what happened was they started quoting all these verses to prove that Jesus was not God the Father. And I told him, I said, that's the problem, is that you all create a straw man argument as to what we believe the Trinity is, and then you refute your own argument. We don't teach that Jesus is the Father. We just teach that he is God. He shares in the same nature as the Father. And, of course, the response from this individual was, explain it to me. And so, you know, they tried to distract it. So I just asked a question. I said, is Jesus a God? And the person, she wouldn't say it. At first, she just kept beating around the bush. And I said, you don't have to be evasive. I'm just asking. But is Jesus a God? Jesus the Son of God? I said, yeah, but does your Bible say that Jesus is God? Anyway, we went back and forth about, I just kept asking that same question. And then ultimately I said, does your Bible say that Jesus is God in John 1:1 and in John 1:18? Because I know the New World Translation does say that he's a God in John 1:1, and it says that he's the only begotten God in John 1:18. Well, he's not the Almighty God. I said, okay, well, I'll stipulate for the sake of this, he's not the Almighty God, but is he a God? And she said, yes. And this is after she had posted John 17:3 to prove that Jesus was the Father, which no Trinitarian believes. And so at that point, I think that's when she realized that she was stuck, because now she's stuck with the two true God theology, because John 17:3 said, where Jesus prayed, he prayed to the Father, and he referred to the Father as the only God. And I pointed out there that the statement only true God renders all other gods false. So either Christ has to be in some capacity related to or connected to what is true God, or he has false God of necessity. So now you're stuck, because you have to have a true theology, you know. And if you say, well, Satan is called a God, which she didn't get that far, because what happened was I literally saw when it clicked, she shut. You could see it. And if you go on there and you look, it's because all this is my responses to her. And you know, I'm not concerned about that, because it's a secret weapon. John 16:9 is here to lead and guide in all truth. 1 Corinthians, what we do is plan pretty well. And the reality is, she went a couple of steps towards that truth. Now she's going to have to deal with varying contradiction in her life. Again, if a person who is honestly mistaken believes she's in the truth, one or two things will have not maybe. The individual will either sin or they'll cease being honest. And so that's something that Jason has to govern herself by. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting. The thing, observation I want to point out is that, you know, as I look out here in here, and I'm gleaning questions for the broadcast each day, I just find it interesting how brazenly individuals are teaching rank heresy. And the crazy part about it is, if you engage them on the rank heresy, then they run to administrators, and the administrators actually go muzzle you. You know, if you say what it actually is, then I'm watching these individuals in Christian rooms just posting videos of that, because their whole theology is YouTube, and I know they listen to this broadcast. You know? And so I'll throw the blanket thing out there again. See, it's not an ego thing for me. It shows that you literally recognize that you have no idea what you're talking about, or you have some doubt about it. Let me put it that way. You have some doubt, because I've encouraged each of these, who many of them I talked to privately until they went over this edge, and then they stopped talking to me, and now they talk at me. And I talk to them privately. If you truly, truly want to check the veracity of the information that you have, the competing information that you are using to support God and His Word, then let's have that discussion. And it doesn't have to be on air. We talk privately, one-on-one. We eight of you, and I have the conversation with eight of you. And I'm not saying that because, cocky. I'm saying that because I'm having the superiority of the truth on which I have a test. An objective test, by which I believe and why I believe it. You know, I accept it as true, not because somebody just, you've been bamboozled. No, I'm not that dude, bad dude, you know. But I have spent time looking at the manuscripts, and I recognize that if I'm going to reject the manuscript evidence of the Word, because we reject every manuscript extant, you know, from antiquity. Nothing even comes close. Just something purely objective about even what I'm talking about. It is a reliable sub. This is what these people said at this time, and they believe this and this and at this time. Whether I want to believe it or not, or somebody wants to believe it or not, I'm talking about really from the perspective of textual criticism, the science of textual criticism. I can validate by archaeological finds that what Scripture teaches and where it teaches it exists. I mean, for centuries, individuals said David didn't exist. Then they had evidence of Solomon. They said, well, Solomon existed, but David didn't, which is stupid because David is Solomon's father. It's only in recent decades that they finally came to the conclusion, okay, yeah, David did exist. You know, or how about the fact that people thought the Hittites didn't exist, or at most were some small tribe, and only in recent decades they've come to realize that what Scripture says, they were a massive, mighty nation that fought Egypt, the greatest empire of the time, to a standstill. And only Scripture portrayed them that way. I'm not talking about whether you believe in the spiritual aspect of it. I'm talking about the veracity of what's being said. How about the predictive prophecy? You got some who say, well, how you know they just get a hold of the Isaiah scrolls and then they write what they said and try to make it seem like they took Isaiah's quotes. That's where you have no concept what are your rules for studying works of antiquity? Because for me, I follow hermeneutics, and the time principle requires that it's an art and a science. It's an art because it's something you get better and better at, but it's a science because there are rules that can be reproduced that require you to follow certain patterns in order to come out with an objective result, not the desired result, but an objective result. You see, because when I look at something that was written, say, for instance, just 100 years ago, I have to consider the time principle. How would those who were lived at the time understood it? Like 100 years ago, like if I tell somebody, you know what, you're a dog today. You know what, you my dog. Today, they'd be like, oh, wow, he said I'm cool with him. But say that 30 years ago, you'd get punched in the mouth. And so when I look, if I look and see where somebody called somebody a dog 30 years ago, then I have to put myself using that time principle on how those who were alive at that time or with the culture at that time, how they would understand this particular thing, and then that's what I have to consider. I can't start here. Like, for instance, when people say, when Jesus told Thomas to stick his fingers in his side in John 1, and Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," people said he wasn't calling Jesus God. That was like, you know, how you are with some starters. You'd be like, "My God." See, that's not time principle, because 2,000 years ago, if you did that, they would have stoned you because they considered that using the Lord's name in vain. The time principle. And so when I looked at predictive prophecy, and I overlay it on this whole concept of individuals back then. Well, see, I'm assuming that people had copies of Isaiah laying around, like you got Bibles laying around, with the time to sit around and scroll through copies of Isaiah, you know, and then and pull these things out. That's not true. That wasn't even true a couple hundred years ago. You know, when we talk about how the Bible was used, for instance, in this country to teach school, that's because it was pretty much the only book that was mass published. It wasn't because they were trying to teach Christian values. It was the only book that was mass published, because it was a tedious endeavor to set a print, a printing press to print a book at the time. You know, and so anyway, and then, of course, the science of statistical probability. I have a test, you know. It's purely objective. All right, see. I know who 513 is, and I know you're listening. I just want to make sure. Let me check something real quick, because I have another caller, and I need to check real quick. Just bear with me, because it may be another listener. All right, well, Eric Code 9, do you have a question, a comment, or were you just listening?
Hey, this is Rob from Real Talk Radio, just listening in, man.
You know what, I thought that was your number, Rob. All right, so anyway, having said, no, it's real here. It is real. We are living in the time the scripture speaks of, are living there. And so we have to consider that we were, that individuals would arise, you know, this whole concept of as we come closer and closer to that great is going to come in some kind of law, scripture says. So we were pressed and we gathered to him. We ask you not to be soon shaken, mind or troubled, either by spirit or by letter or by from us, as Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that they will not see the apostasy comes first. It's what, you know what, I apologize. I don't know how I did not scale, you know, for the appropriate amount of time. And thank you, somebody just that out to me. I'm going to see if I can adjust it. Let's go to, you know, I just figured I'd throw that in there, because out here in the marketplace of ideas, it's amazing all of the things, the dynamics that are taking place, that many of us sisters are used to. All right, so anyway, let me just finish up. Yesterday we spent some time talking about tithes. We talked about who tithes were for, tithes, what they are. It was, the word tithe just means a tenth. We talked about how why tithes were. They existed as an inheritance for the Levites. That was their only reason. We talked about the fact that they were agriculturally at that particular time. We all are familiar with the fact that Jesus, you know, turned over the tables and engaged the money changers. You know, there was a lively you know, system of money, if that's what it was about. But it was never about that. When you read what tithes are, then you don't have to prove what they're not. You know, if I set a clean glass of water on a table, I don't have to prove to you it's not dirty. You can observe, especially if I set it next to the dirty glass. you can observe that there's no stench. You can see it. And so by teaching what tithes is, all right, it illustrates clearly for anyone who's interested, you know, what it is not. It's not these other things. And so when you understand that the purpose in tithes was so that these individuals had an opportunity to have sustenance, because they were not to be numbered amongst Israel. In fact, God said, I have taken them out and they are mine for the tabernacle of the, you know, the work of the tabernacle service, all right? And the purpose in tithes was so that they could have eat and drink and food and all the rest of that. If you understand that that's what Scripture teaches that tithes is, then one doesn't have to time trying to prove what tithes is not. You know, they changed a lot here on Blog Talk Radio that makes it a little bit more difficult. You used to be able to go right in and extend the show, and they changed a whole lot. What I'm going to do, because I accidentally set this show for a half an hour, is that immediately following, it's just going to roll into another. I'm actually trying to set that up as I'm talking to you. I ask you to bear with me. What I'm going to do is take about a 2-minute musical interlude so I can set that up so that I can get that set up. So give me about, actually, 3 minutes and 7 seconds. Back at 3 minutes and 7 seconds.
Well, teach me, Master. Master, teach me. Oh, teach me how to wait. Oh, when I bow at the altar. Oh, teach me what to say. Live a liar. I'll tell you the reason why I'm afraid my Lord might call me. Oh, yeah. And I would be ready to teach them how to teach me. Come on, Master.
Teach me, Master.
Uh-huh.
Teach me.
You know that sounds good right now. Listen.
Teach me,
uh-huh.
Master. Teach me.
Oh, teach
me how
to pray. For I would not be a gambler.
All right, guys. Yeah, so much has changed with Blog Talk Radio. Don't even have the ability to do that now in the live show. I literally would have to go off and come back on to do it. So, great. Again, guys, for the short show today, well, I'll just pick up tomorrow. And I do want to talk about ties in history. And when I say history, I'm not talking about history after Scripture. I'm talking about history in Scripture. Because we treat the Bible like it's some voodoo book. No, these were really events that really happened. So tomorrow we're going to bring Malachi together with Nehemiah. Nehemiah accomplishing something from a civil perspective that the prophet Malachi and Ezra, by the way, were in Israel at the time assisting him. And so I do with that. Again, I apologize for the brief show today. My snafu, there have been some channel talk radio that won't allow us that, not while I'm on the air. So until broadcast, this is Rick Youngness. Looking forward to our next time together. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for joining me for today's edition of Ark Studies Live. I'm Rick Young. The Apologist segment focuses exclusively on addressing your questions and comments concerning hardcore doctrinal issues relating to biblical difficulties, counter-cult studies, and Christian apologetics. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Again, that's www.arcstudies.org. Thank you.